Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to challenge and support military veterans to reach their peak potential in both their professional and personal life. Today is episode number 333 with Jocko Willink and Leif Babin.
I realized that everything that we had been teaching from a leadership perspective applied 100% across the board. And then luckily this CEO realized that too. He asked me to talk to all of his divisions. I went and was talking to his divisions. I was at one of those divisional meetings and the CEO of the parent company was there as well. And as soon as I got done, he came up and said, I want you to talk to all my CEOs. And he owned about 45 or 50 companies at the time. So I went and talked to that group of CEOs. And when I got done, a bunch of them came up to me and said, can you come talk to my company? Can you come talk to my company? And right then I knew we had something significant. And I also knew I was going to need backup. You know, I knew I was going to need help. I wasn't going to be able to do it all myself. Much like anything worth doing in life, if you can do it yourself, it's probably not that big of a deal.
In 3 years and 333 episodes, today's conversation is the highlight of my time with Beyond the Uniform. More than anyone else I have witnessed, Jocko and Leif are doing the most to elevate the civilian world's understanding of military veterans and what they bring to the table. In this conversation, we talk about what it is like for Jocko and Leif to work together now out of uniform. We also talk about what it was like starting their company, Echelon Front. And it's not as easy as I thought it would be. We talk about their newest initiatives, EF Overwatch and EF Legion, incredible recruiting resources for the military community. We talk about career transition advice and mindsets to keep and tweak and more. I didn't take time at the start of our conversation to read bios as usual. I wanted to make as much time for our conversation. So let me give a quick bio for those few of you who may not understand Jocko and Leif's background. Here's a little bit about Jocko. Jocko Willink is a retired U.S. Navy SEAL officer, co-author of the number one New York Times best-selling books, Extreme Ownership, How U.S. Navy SEALs Lead and Win, as well as The Dichotomy of Leadership. He hosts the top-rated Jocko podcast and is the co-founder of Echelon Front, where he serves as chief executive officer. He is a leadership instructor, speaker, and strategic advisor. Jocko spent 20 years in the SEAL team, starting as an enlisted SEAL and rising through the ranks to become a SEAL officer. As commander of SEAL Team 3's Task Unit Bruiser during the Battle of Ramadi, he orchestrated SEAL operations that helped the Ready First Brigade of the U.S. Army's 1st Armored Division bring stability to the violent, war-torn city. Task Unit Bruiser became the most highly decorated special operations unit of the Iraq War. Jocko returned from Iraq to serve as officer in charge of training for all West Coast SEAL teams. There, he spearheaded the development of leadership training and personally instructed and mentored the next generation of SEAL leaders who have continued to perform with great success on the battlefield. Jocko is the recipient of the Silver Star, the Bronze Star, and numerous other personal and unit awards. Upon retiring from the Navy, Jocko co-founded Echelon Front, a premier leadership consulting company where he teaches the leadership principles he learned on the battlefield to help others lead and win. Jocko also authored the Discipline Equals Freedom Field Manual, a New York Times bestseller, and the best-selling Way of the Warrior Kid children's book series. And here's a little bit about Leif. Leif Babin is a former U.S. Navy SEAL officer, co-author of the number one New York Times bestseller, Extreme Ownership, How U.S. Navy SEALs Lead and Win, and the co-founder of Echelon Front, where he serves as president and chief operating officer, leadership instructor, speaker, and strategic advisor. A graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy, Leif served 13 years in the Navy, including 9 in the SEAL teams. As a SEAL platoon commander in the SEAL Team 3's Task Unit Bruiser, he planned and led major combat operations in the Battle of Ramadi that helped the Ready First Brigade of the U.S. Army's 1st Armored Division achieve victory. Task Unit Bruiser became the most highly decorated special operations unit in the Iraq War. Leif returned from combat and became the primary leadership instructor for all officers graduating from the SEAL training pipeline. There, he reshaped SEAL leadership training to better prepare the next generation of SEAL officers for the immense challenges of combat. During his last tour, Leif served as operations officer and executive officer at a SEAL team where he again deployed to Iraq with a Special Operations Task Force. He is the recipient of the Silver Star, two Bronze Stars, and a Purple Heart. Upon his departure from active duty, Leif co-founded Echelon Front, a premier leadership consulting company that helps others build their own high-performance winning teams. As always, at beyonduniform.org, there are show notes with links to everything we discuss. I am sincerely hoping that you all check out both Echelon Front Overwatch and EF Legion, as well as any of the books and podcasts. We've tried to include as many as possible, and there are a lot of them. So check those out if you want to dive deeper into Jocko and Leif's wisdom. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Jocko and Leif. Well, joining me today in Austin and in San Diego, my guests today are Jocko Willink and Leif Babin. Jocko and Leif, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks for having us.
So for listeners, you've heard about Jocko and Leif from me, and I'm sure from other places. Jocko, you got on my radar a couple years ago when you were on Tim Ferriss's podcast, probably like a lot of people. Since then, I've read the Discipline Equals Freedom Field Manual. I've got a 10-month-old son. He is on his second lap of Way of the Warrior Kid. And I've done the audiobook of Extreme Ownership and Dichotomy of Leadership. And he's caught a good portion of that at the 2 a.m. feeding when I'm listening to it. And I have to say a couple things just to expound on this. Extreme Ownership is the number one recommended book that guests on the show have referenced. And to be honest, I usually shy away from books like that. I've got some sort of aversion. And when I read the 100th time it was recommended, I read Extreme Ownership, and the preface and the dedication do such an exceptional job of just getting someone like me past the hurdles to reading that sort of book. It's so beautifully written and shows that you guys were writing this book for the right reasons. And so for the two listeners we have who haven't read those books yet, highly recommend them both. And I just wanted to thank you each. I think that more than anyone else I've seen, you have done such incredible work to elevate the perception of military veterans in the civilian community. And so just really grateful in your writing and your work and your speaking. I think you're doing a great service for all of us in showcasing to the world what we as a community have to offer.
Well, thanks a lot. I mean, I can tell you, we both took away a ton from the military, and the military gave me my whole life. And so it's an honor to be able to try and give something back to the military for sure.
That's awesome.
Appreciate those kind words, Justin. Interestingly enough, the preface was something that we had a lot of people tell us, hey, you should take that out. You know, that shouldn't be in there. You should dive right into the action of a good combat story. And it was really important for us to help explain why we wrote that book, to pass on some very humbling lessons learned so that those lessons don't have to be relearned, rewritten in blood.
And I recognize this is my own judgment, my own thing. Sometimes when I see books like that, my assumption is that it's written for people's ego. And that's why I love the preface. It was like, you know, the sense I got was you cleared it through the right channels. You were doing this to give things back. You had taken all the necessary measures to keep things safe. And the love and respect that you have for your fallen colleagues with Mike, Mark and Ryan, like that love comes through in the book. Like it seems like the dedication there was so powerful. So all of those things together worked well. And I loved the format. I loved the excitement of the war story, the principle, and then the application to business. And between the three of them, it really rounds out to something that's universally applicable and extremely entertaining to read. So I thought it was beautifully, beautifully done. So maybe to start things off, Leif, one thing I wanted to ask you about is you left the military after about 13 years of service. And I know so many of our listeners struggle at that point. That seems to be a questioning point of, do I stay in for 20? Do I get out? And I'm just curious, you know, you had your own unique circumstances, but any advice you have for listeners about how to approach that decision?
Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely a tough decision. It's the only thing I ever wanted to be was a combat leader my whole life. And I got a chance to do that in the SEAL teams. and always said that I was going to stay in until I stopped having fun. And look, it was a great job. It was the best job in the world. As I moved up the ranks in the SEAL teams, you get further away from the people you like to be around and the things you like to do. And so it was, I felt like it was time for me to move on. I had a lot of senior leaders tell me that this was a very poor business decision, that I was leaving, you know, the equivalent of $500,000 401k plan on the table, you know, for retirement. And actually looking at those numbers now, I mean, it's the things that people can get, the benefits through TRICARE, for their health insurance, for military retirement, those would be great. I think for most people, it's probably the right decision. If you've already spent 13 years in, it's probably the right decision to just figure out a way to do 20 and make that work for you. For me, I think I was ready to attack something else. I'm a pretty default aggressive guy, and so I was ready to get out. I had some family concerns as well. My wife was working in New York City at the time, and there was no place. Washington, D.C. was the closest I was going to be able to get to that. We've been on opposite sides of the country. I was stationed in San Diego for 2.5 years. So that was a major factor in my decision as well. And look, the reality is, if you do want to get out at that mark, you can make it work. I mean, we were able to make it work, and we built a successful company with Echelon Front, and we're doing very well. But it didn't start that way. And I made, the first year out, I made less than half of my Navy paycheck. And it was a consideration for the first 2 or 3 years of Echelon Front of whether or not this was ever going to fully pay the bills. So, starting your own business from scratch as you get out is a tough thing. It's a big challenge. Nobody should underestimate that. It's a very, very significant challenge. So I think for each person, you just have to weigh your own decision and think, hey, we don't know what the economy is going to look like, mm-hmm. 2 or 3 years, that we can have some ups and downs. Would it be good to have that retirement paycheck coming in? TRICARE is an amazing thing. When I started having to pay for health insurance, that was a big wake up call for me. I pay more per month for my health insurance than Jocko does for his entire year. So it's definitely a big, it's a big thing to consider. And I think you just have to do the research and make sure that it's the right decision for you.
That's great. And one thing I wanted to ask for both of you is reading your books, it's, very clear to me that you each have so much respect for each other and such a strong working relationship. And I'm also aware that while you were in the military, there was different ranks and there's a difference in age. And I'm just curious of if you feel like your working relationship has changed now that you're out of the military. You've been out of the military working together for a while. Does it feel like the same relationship, or has that had to change as you became co-founders together and working together outside of the uniform?
I can tell you from my perspective, this is Jocko talking, there's really been no change, because when I was the guy in charge of Task Unit Bruiser, I wasn't sitting there at the top making all these decisions on my own in a vacuum. We were very collaborative in the way we worked together. And when we started the civilian company, we had the same sort of ideas to move forward that, hey, we're going to come up with the best plan. It wasn't worried about whose plan it was. It was just what's the right decision to make. And that's how I've always kind of worked. So for me, it hasn't really been too much different from the military to the civilian sector. It's hanging out with your friends and getting a mission done. Mm.
And, that's something very unique about Jocko, is that, he was able to be my boss in Task Unit Bruiser as my immediate, Task Unit Commander when I was the senior platoon commander. And we were also close friends as well. And we've maintained that, I will say this, though. It was interesting as we launched Echelon Front, and it was just us for a long time. And then as we've grown, to more than a dozen employees now with Echelon Front, different leadership instructors, we realized that we actually had to institute decentralized command and actually put a command structure at Echelon Front. We couldn't just be the equal co-founders. And that's something Jocko and I had a conversation about. And it was interesting to me that he actually approached me, several years ago as we realized we needed to do this. And it was, he was thinking that I was going to push back on that if about how we would put that structure in place, because he's the CEO of the company. And it was no factor to me whatsoever. I'm totally happy to be the president, the CEO of the company, and that command structure is something that we've always worked under. We've always had a great relationship, and I think the way that Jocko leads, and what I've learned from him is this idea that, I mean, there's extremely, it's so minuscule the number of times that we even disagree about things. We're almost completely aligned. And if anything, when we talk, because he's in San Diego and I'm in Texas, we don't, sometimes if we haven't talked for a while, because our schedules are going in different directions, I'd need that reassurance of like, hey, you got this, man. You're aligned with my vision. And I think that's an awesome thing. But he's always been approachable. If I disagree about something, he's not the guy, despite his looks. If you're watching this via video, if you've seen Jocko, he's not a guy that just says, do it my way. We realize that's not good leadership. And he's always willing to say, okay, if you disagree with me, let's talk me through how that's going to work or why that is. And approaches conversations in that way. So it's been no factor. And I've seen a number of friends of mine that have worked with close friends of theirs or gone in business with them, and that's been really problematic. And I think that's just a testament to the power of good leadership. Jocko sets that, you know, from the beginning. And if I've got a disagreement with him, I realize that it's my fault for not explaining, you know, my position or why I think we should go in a different direction. And I think it's a testament to the power of extreme ownership. What makes this work and what makes our company successful.
That's great. You know, one thing that I realize when you're saying that, so people have listened to the show for a long time have heard me talk about Cal Newport, who wrote a book called So Good They Can't Ignore You. And we've had him on the show, and the premise is you build up career capital that you can then cash in for different things, different opportunities or transitions. And what you're talking about, Leif, it's almost the thought of, it seems like you both built up a fair amount of relationship capital in working together in so many different circumstances in the military, and you've been able to leverage that relationship capital in a wildly different context now in running your own company. And I don't think I've had anyone on the show that has done that forged a really strong bond in the military and then leveraged that to take that relationship in a different form, in a different vehicle. And I think it's awesome that you're setting that example that you can do that. If you work with someone really well and you've tested that relationship in the military, that's someone to consider co-founding a company with or working with or working alongside. And I also love how you're both embodying the principles that you teach in your books, and you're applying that to your company, and that's how you're able to keep things running so smoothly and efficiently.
One thing that's kind of nice on top of the relationship that Leif and I have is not just Leif and I at the company anymore. You know, we got JP Donnell, who is in Delta Platoon. We got Dave Burke, who was with the Anglico on the ground with us in the Battle of Ramadi. We got Jason Gardner, who's another friend of mine from the SEAL teams. Flynn Cochran, another guy from the SEAL teams that worked for Leif, his wife, Jamie. We've got a whole crew of people that the reason that they're here is because we all have good relationships. And so it's not just the relationship that we have that we've carried into the civilian sector. It's a bunch of other military relationships that we have. And we have a bunch of other guys lined up to come on board Echelon Front in the coming 12 to 18 months that are all guys that we work with and had good working relationships with.
That's awesome. I want to delve a little bit more into Echelon Front, but just to set the stage for those not familiar with Echelon Front, how would you, if you were to bump into someone on the street, some Marine or Army or Air Force person, and they said, what do you do for a living with Echelon Front? How do you answer that question?
I just tell people it's a leadership consulting company and we teach people how to lead.
I love it. And at this point, you've helped over 400 businesses since starting Echelon Front back in 2010. Could you share a little bit more, like what was the starting point? Was there a moment that you attribute to having this idea, or what was the genesis?
I can speak to that because there is, so we actually became toward the end, Jocko had retired in 2010. And he started working with a company in the civilian sector in the mortgage business, and immediately realized that the principles that we taught, the next generation of SEALs that we'd brought back from Ramadi, I mean, you remove the tactical combat, how you maneuver troops on the battlefield, that's the easy part of leadership, right? The hard part of leadership is actually getting a diverse group of people with different perspectives and different egos and different ways of wanting to do things to actually align, to work together in order to accomplish a strategic mission and win. And that's, that applies to any team in any situation. And so when I left active duty in 2011, Jocko had retired in the fall of 2010. I had spoken to a company that can't come and visit our team, and they were really interested in how we taught leadership. And they wanted to ask a lot of questions about the program that I had run, which was the junior officer training program. And so they, I realized right away as well, for me, it was a real revelation. These leadership lessons absolutely apply. I was right on the verge of going to law school because everybody I knew that got out had gone back to school, and it was either MBA or law degree or something else, some master's program. And, you know, for every single officer I knew that was getting out. So I thought, hey, that's the transition. I decided law school would be interesting. I had people ask me, hey, do you want to be a lawyer? I said, absolutely not. But I thought a law degree might be useful in some capacity. We had a bunch of our friends killed on the helicopter extortion 17 that got shot down in August 6th, 2011. And one of those guys had been at my wedding a month before that, Brian Bill, close friend of mine, and Jocko and I served with a number of those guys. And it was another revelation that a lesson that we learned over and over again, that life is really short. You should do the things that you want to do. And I immediately decided to defer law school. And I was sitting there talking with my wife in New York City and thinking that, you know, what I want to do with my life. And she asked me, well, what are you passionate about? What would you like to do? And the thing I love to do most was a SEAL platoon commander. That's the best job in the world. And I would do that job again in a heartbeat. And I couldn't do that job anymore. I'd already been, you know, I made it up to the XO level at a SEAL team. So I was way beyond the SEAL platoon commander. And I decided the second best job that I really liked was teaching leadership to those young junior officers. That program that I ran for 2 years, every single officer graduated from our training pipeline. We put through that. And that was, I was passionate about that. I loved mentoring these young junior officers. And so she's like, you should call Jocko and start a company. That's what my wife said to me. So I did that. I called Jocko. I said, hey, we need to start a leadership company. He said, Roger that. Let's make it happen. We started Echelon Front there in the fall of 2011. We became an official LLC in February 2012. And it wasn't until about 2 or 3 years afterward that I realized, I thought Echelon Front was all my idea. And then I realized that Jocko and I had had a conversation about a year and a half prior to that, where he asked me if I wanted to start a leadership company. And what is And I threw out this gargantuan number that I thought was, you know, was totally unachievable. And he just kind of nodded his head and he didn't say anything. And so I realized that the idea to launch this leadership company was 100% Jocko, and a seed that he had planted that I had totally even forgotten was his idea. And I think that's the power of great ideas, is it doesn't matter who gets credit. We just want to win. And I think that is something, he kind of laughs about that now, you know, when I say that, but totally, you know, he started planting that seed back in 2010, that realizing that there's a huge need to pass on these leadership lessons learned, something that's practical, that's applicable. We don't teach stuff that's learned in a classroom. This is learned through experience and learned through the mistakes and failures that we made. And we failed and made mistakes over and over and over again. And what we learned from that to try to help others succeed in whatever arena they're in. So, I think that's really, you know, back to your previous question, that's the success of Echelon Front as it's the success of any organization. That's why we say humility is the most important quality in a leader. Is, if you take your ego out of it, doesn't matter who gets credit for what. It's about winning and what we can do to contribute to a team that's going to win. So that's how Echelon Front came to be. And it took me several years to remember that it was actually Jocko's idea and not mine.
Yeah, I was really lucky when I retired from the Navy about 6 months prior to retiring, a guy that I knew that was the CEO of a big company come asked me to talk to his executive team about leadership. And I went and talked to them. And when I got done, he asked me to talk to every division in his company. And it really, as Leif pointed out, as soon as I had one conversation with these civilian leaders, I realized that everything that we had been teaching from a leadership perspective applied 100% across the board. And then luckily this CEO realized that too. He asked me to talk to all of his divisions. I went and was talking to his divisions. I was at one of those divisional meetings and the CEO of the parent company was there as well. And as soon as I got done, he came up and said, I want you to talk to all my CEOs. And he owned about 45 or 50 companies at the time. So I went and talked to that group of CEOs. And when I got done, a bunch of them came up to me and said, can you come talk to my company? Can you come talk to my company? And right then I knew we had something significant And I also knew I was going to need backup. You know, I knew I was going to need help. I wasn't going to be able to do it all myself. Much like anything worth doing in life, if you can do it yourself, it's probably not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. So, and then Leif was, you know, happened to be getting out at the same time, and you know, the world's aligned, and he had that brilliant idea. So he called me up, and here we are.
I'm realizing as you both are sharing this, we need to do a spouse appreciation episode, because Leif, it's clear that one of the milestones on this journey was your wife's input of recognizing what energized you and kind of nudging you in that direction. And I think there's probably 24 episodes I've had where the significant other played such an important role in giving that feedback. And what I love too about what you're both saying is the realizing, I think that a lot of guests we've had on the show and a lot of listeners sometimes question how transferable their skills are from the military. And I think that what I especially love about what you're talking about is you found the aspects that could be transferable, and you found ways to do a little bit of tweaking to translate them to the civilian audience. And I know a lot of guests often talk about that, of doing a little bit of work to not use the jargon from the military to make it in terms that the civilians can understand. And I think that in your work, you've really effectively done that. You saw what would serve this population, and you found how to explain it to them in a way that would be accessible. And I think that's really impressive.
Well, certainly you have to be able to communicate with people in a way that they understand. Otherwise it's worthless. And that's one of the laws of combat, is keeping things simple. And that's what we try to do every day, is keep the lessons simple, keep the principles clear so that people can understand them and implement them into their world.
That's wonderful.
Justin, I wanted to just make a comment about, you were talking about the appreciation for spouses, and look, I think it'd be a great episode. Jocko is married to probably the nicest human being in the entire world as well. She is absolute saint in more ways than one. I think that's a great appreciation.
Just in case you didn't pick up on this, that's kind of a backhanded shot at me. You know, my wife must be a saint to be married to a guy like me, but I'll give it to him. It's actually true. So
listen, it's the truth. And I appreciate military spouses in a huge way, and I think that's great to recognize them. I would say though, I think that what my wife was asking me there is a really important thing. And it's something that we do all the time at Echelon Front with the leaders that we work with. When someone comes to me and says, "Hey, I don't know if this is where I want to be, or do I want to launch my own company?" And we get this all the time whether it's at our muster, the leadership conferences that we run, or companies that we work with, we get people reaching out to us and asking those kind of questions. And what we always try to tell them is to think strategically, just as my wife was telling me there, you know, where do you want to be? You know, where do you want to be 30 years from now? And kind of backwards plan toward that. I think the worst thing that anybody can do getting out of the military is just fall on, you know, into the first interview that comes available. I think you really need to do some research and figure out what you want to do for a career, and look for a career that you can really take pride in and be eager to go to work and actually be excited about the mission that you're a part of, finding your new mission. I think that's super critical for anybody, rather than just fall into the first job that's available, because you're going to get in a situation where you're probably looking for a new job pretty quick if you do that.
I 100% agree. One of the driving forces that caused me to start Beyond the Uniform was the frustration, like equal parts frustration of the man or woman who got out of the military expecting things to be better and realizing you probably would have been happier in the military. And then there's people who stay in the military out of fear of not knowing what they're going to do. And it really triggers me to see people just take a job that is not right for them because they don't know. Like, that I'm in the same category as you, Leif, MBA or law school. Those were the two paths I knew. And it took me going to business school to realize there are thousands of options, thousands of different career paths, and finding the one that's uniquely suited to you. That's definitely one of the goals of this show, is to be able to spotlight those and say, you know, these are different options for you. And if it resonates, do some homework and go after it. I'm wondering with the starting point, just, I know so many of our listeners aspire to start a company, and Leif, I appreciated at the start, you hinted at that the first year or two it wasn't like you were making a ton of money. And that actually, I think that's great for me to hear. Even for me, I just assumed you guys started this thing and it just took off and it was easy sailing. And I'm wondering advice that either of you have for listeners who aspire to start their own company.
One thing that I give advice when it comes to starting a company is start small and then listen for the demand signal to grow into. You know, Leif and I didn't have an office of any kind until last year. We finally went out and got a building so we can actually have a headquarters down in Texas. But that's practically 7 or 8 years deep into this thing. We never had any overhead. We kept all the expenses at a minimum. And we grew as the demand signal called for it. So I think some people go a little bit backwards and they invest a bunch of money up front and they're not even sure how popular their business is going to be or how much demand signal there's going to be for their business. So we started small and we grew as the demand signal as we heard the demand signal. And I just recommend that is the best way, I think, to mitigate risk and not put a bunch of overhead on top of yourself, where you've got a huge bill to pay every month without even paying yourself. So just start small and grow. The other thing I would say is you're not always right. You know, you may come up with a product or an idea that you think is the greatest idea ever, and you could be wrong. And so if you invest all this money into that idea and then you look up in a year or 2 years and it hasn't gone anywhere, well, now you're out a bunch of money and you're upside down. Whereas if you try that idea from a more conservative viewpoint or a more conservative stance, then you look up and say, hey, this isn't really quite turning out the way I thought it was going to be. How about I make an adjustment? What do I see? What other opportunities have revealed themselves? Because that's what happens. You know, you make a product and it's not quite what people are looking for, but you realize that they're looking for something else. You can make some adjustments and you can move in that direction. So I think you got to start small and then you got to stay humble and adaptable. As you see changes, you need to say, okay, my plan was wrong and we're going to do something a little bit different now and okay.
I think that's such great advice too. I think that the conventional wisdom in popular culture is bet on yourself, go big, and people who are just spending a lot of time and money without validating that there's the demand there. So I love that thought of starting small, and I respect going that long with such minimal expenses, 7 to 8 years until you had an office, where I see people getting an office before they even have the idea. So I love that discipline and that pacing.
I think as well, you have to remember that it's a campaign. I mean, it's a long-term thing. And there's a lot of people out there that think that if they get, you know, if they can get someone with a huge profile on social media to post something about their product, you know, or if they can just get on a television program, and all of a sudden it's going to blow their business up. I mean, look, you should pursue those opportunities for sure. But don't think that that's going to be the end all be all for whatever product or service that you're trying to market. I mean, it's just not the case. So, you have to realize that that's a slow growth thing over time, but if you are providing a product or a service that people need and like, and is impactful, it's going to continue to grow. And I think you do have to Jocko's point, you have to actually say, you know, if it's not working, like, hey, maybe this isn't as good as I thought. You have to be able to humble enough to actually take a look at that. I will say this though, the caveat, we always talk about, you know, we wrote that second book, The Dichotomy of Leadership, and this is the dichotomy as well. So you've got to be honest about what people want, and you need to start slow. And that's absolutely true. Everything Jock was saying. On the other hand, you also have to recognize that maybe the experts aren't always right in that regard. And, you know, if I look at how we started this business, I mean, every business person we talk to, they told us that we need to be focused in the crisis management mode to be able to go help companies that are going through these difficult times, that have, you know, that we can actually help them through, you know, the tough situations, which would be applicable to our combat experience. And that is the tiniest percentage of the clients that we worked with. And it's well above 400 at this point. We're talking, we're probably pushing, probably pushing 1,000 companies that we worked with over the last almost 8 years now. So it is, and the overwhelming majority of those clients, I'd say 95th percentile, are people who are doing extremely well and they want to do even better. They recognize that they need to, they're growing, you know, hugely. They need to invest in leadership development, and they're bringing us in because they realize that they can do even better as they grow. And so that's something I think to recognize that the experts may be wrong. Same thing for the book, you know, Extreme Ownership. We marketed this book. We wanted to write it ourselves. We didn't want to go to a ghost author. Everybody told us that was ridiculous. We can't write a book. They probably took a look at me and decided that I didn't know how to write my name, much less write a book. And so they said, you have to go through an author. Then they told us it wasn't ready. Then we said, no, we want to write this ourselves. We want to control the story. We want to make sure that it's told in the humble manner, that these lessons are captured in the way that they that we know they should be and how they'll be most applicable. And the first five publishing houses that we sent that to turned us down, said, no, thank you. This isn't ready. We don't like this. And we're fortunate, you know, Extreme Ownership has been one of the most successful business books since its publication over 4 years ago now. So, but that was not that way. I mean, initially there was only, I think they printed 10,000 copies initially. They didn't want to, you know, there was no money invested in that. At all. And nobody thought that really had a belief it would be successful except for me and Jocko, really. You know, maybe a few inside players that our publisher, St. Martin's Press, kind of saw the value in it. But still, we stuck to our guns there because we knew that that was the right way to do it. And there may be some times where you have to do that and push back against conventional wisdom and maybe do the opposite of what other people are doing in order to be successful.
I appreciated that in the dichotomy of leadership as well, like the recognition of the nuance that it's not situations that are not necessarily simple. And I think it's Henry Ford that said, if I listened to my customers, I would have built a faster horse. And so like there's the tension between listening to customers and innovating, and there's the tension between breaking through walls and then also realizing when all the signs point to this is a bad idea. And that's like, it is, there's far more art than I think people give credit to. And I'm just also appreciating even hearing with your book, and if we have time, we'll get into it towards the end, but it's easy for people like you, for me, when I view people like you, to just assume that both Echelon Front and even the book was an easy process, that it was an idea to success. And it's helpful to hear even with the book that it was rejected by publishers, that there was a lot of speed bumps, there was a lot of friction, and it wasn't just this effortless process. I hope that listeners take comfort in that and realizing that it's an uphill battle for everyone. There's no, you know, very rarely these quick wins, and it takes perseverance, it takes dedication to actually achieve the great things that you both have achieved multiple times. I want to make sure that we have space for a new development to your company, and that is an aspect called Echelon Front Legion that very recently launched. And I think it's so directly applicable to listeners. So I wanted to give some room for you each to share about what's behind Echelon Front Legion, what that is, where it's going, and how listeners might participate.
So when I was talking about people that we work with at Echelon Front, the relationships that we built while we were in the military, one of the other people in that organization is a guy named Mike Sorelli, who was one of the assistant platoon commanders in Task Unit Bruiser for Delta Platoon. And then he went on to an incredible career in the military and the SEAL teams. Just, I think he ended up doing a total of 10 combat deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan, and then a couple other hotspots in the world, but just a phenomenal guy. And he joined Echelon Front, and as he joined Echelon Front, he had come from a civilian nonprofit called Vetted, where they were helping military folks transition to the civilian sector. And he realized that it was a great program and he enjoyed doing it, but he also realized that there were some holes in it where he might be able to come up with something that could be even more helpful, both to veterans and to businesses. And so he kind of came up with this idea of forming a placement company for civilian companies to take people from the military and get them into these civilian roles where, like, we all know it can be a hard transition, but we also all know that military veterans have skills that are absolutely applicable in the civilian sector. So we've got actually two companies. One of them is called EF Overwatch. And what that focuses on is folks from the special operations and the combat aviation community and taking them and getting them placed into companies. And then as the demand signal, again, I'll talk about demand signal. As we rolled that out, there was a lot of companies that we worked with that had been asking us for years, hey, where do I get people that understand these principles that you talk about? Where do I get people with a leadership experience? So we rolled out EF Overwatch to kind of satisfy that need. Almost immediately upon rolling that out, we got even more demand signal, and it was for, hey, what I need is frontline leadership. I need frontline workers. I need frontline troops, and I need that middle-level management of people that are willing to work hard. And so what that translated to us, I mean, Leif and I worked alongside soldiers and Marines all the time in the Battle of Ramadi, the grunts on the front lines, the mechanics, the people prepping radios. I mean, all those workers that get the job done, that have the discipline, that have the leadership skills. And so what we wanted to do was open up more frontline positions in the civilian sector to hiring in folks that had gotten out of the military, maybe not after 20 years, like EF Overwatch has a focus on, but people that are getting out after 4 years or 6 years, but they still have those qualities and those characteristics that make them great leaders and employees in the civilian sector. And that's why we started EF Legion.
That's great. I mean, I think when for listeners, almost 100 episodes ago on episode 246, I had the pleasure of interviewing Mike Cirelli and hearing his story. And we talked a lot about Echelon Front Overwatch, EF Overwatch in that episode. But I love that thought of the how you followed the thread of demand, where you realized there was, once you had that, there was an opportunity beyond that. And I love too, I mean, in your both of your books, it really comes through too, the respect that you have for all the different components, all the different people making a mission successful. And I love to see how you've expanded your vision to incorporate them and give them the training and support they need to find their ideal opportunity as well.
Well, Justin, I think what you just said there is very important. You know, and Jocko touched on that with EF Overwatch. The idea of an Overwatch position is where that came from, right? We're putting in a sniper Overwatch position to support the troops on the ground there. So it's not just, hey, a placement company to find a veteran and put them into an open job, but actually provide him or her the tools to succeed by helping them understand the experiences that they have through the lens of extreme ownership, the kind of leadership, these books that we've written, and then through our EF Online training programs, which we're offering through for Legion personnel as well. So, you know, for veterans out there that are interested in that, I mean, this is the way to help understand how to take your experiences and apply it in the civilian sector to success and connect to companies that we're working with. And the kind of companies that bring us in, again, these are successful companies, and that is these are companies that are growing. They need people. They're excited to get the right people, veterans with the kind of leadership experience that Jocko was talking about, with a mindset of extreme ownership. It's not just enough that you've worn the uniform, that you understand that humility is the most important quality in a leader. You're going to have to actually work hard. You're going to have to learn about a new career, start as the new guy or new gal, and actually work your way up the chain of command. And for those folks, you know, to take that discipline, to take that focus, the teamwork that they have, and be able to apply those skills. That's what this is about. And we're excited to launch that program, help the companies that we work with, as well as help veterans transition out of the military.
What I love about that is probably half the interviews that I've done, the number one challenge that guests on the show identify is, hey, when I left the military, I had this wealth of experience and knowledge, and it was challenging to figure out how to explain that to a hiring manager and to a company. And it seems like, you know, using extreme ownership, you're equipping the people that work with EF Legion, you're equipping them with a really powerful framework to explain that knowledge, to explain that expertise, to explain their background to someone who wants to hire them but needs to understand their value proposition, to understand what they bring to the company. And I think that's such an incredible resource in helping people better articulate what they did in the military and why that would be valuable to any company that's hiring them.
Yeah, we're actually attacked that problem from two directions, because not only does the military personnel learn like about extreme ownership and how to translate that into the civilian sector, but the companies that are seeking people, well, they're people that already have read extreme ownership. They understand the principles themselves, so they can easily identify them inside the recruits and candidates that we bring forward to them. So it's solving the problem from two directions, which has turned out to be very beneficial.
Mm-hmm. That really underscores too the work that you both have done. It is educating the civilian population. It's just helping them better understand why they would want to hire the military community members. And so I love that you've built this, not marketplace, but you've built this, you forged these relationships that are mutually beneficial. And I just want to recognize for listeners the work that you've done in your books of cultivating those companies who identify and say, like, yes, these are the type of people that we want to work alongside, that we want to work for, that we want to work for us. It's showing them how much they bring to the table. And the sense I get from a lot of the companies I speak with is they know that veterans have something to offer, and sometimes they don't exactly know what that is, or they can't put their finger on it. And your books have done a great job of showing that and throughout incredible examples of exactly what they bring to the table. I'm wondering if anything stands out around, you've seen different junior non-commissioned officers, you've seen different officers leaving the military. And I'm curious if you've seen any sort of mindset changes that need to occur. And I just say that because, you know, we're giving a lot of praise to all of the things that we learn in the military that are an asset in the civilian workforce. And I'm sure that there's things that could be a liability if not kept in check or maybe not tweaked a little bit. And just, yeah, wondering if anything stands out for either of you on that.
It's the same thing that we talk about all the time from a leadership perspective. What's the most important quality for a leader to have? It's humility. And what can happen with a person that was in the military is they've been in the military for 6 years or 8 years and they know their job well, and they're used to maybe telling people what to do, or at least used to being an authority in their particular subject matter. And let's face it, when you get out, you're entering a completely new industry. And if you can't get humble and say to yourself, okay, I need to take a step back, I need to listen, I need to learn, I need to have an open mind, and instead you walk in there acting or pretending that you know everything, people are going to see right through it and they're not going to like it, just like they don't like it in the military. So when you get out of the military, you have to get humble. I mean, you heard Leif talking about taking a massive pay cut. I mean, you're talking about a guy that was in the SEAL teams, was the recipient of the Silver Star, Bronze Star, Purple Heart, was a platoon commander on the battlefield, led countless operations into the hardest combat that the SEAL teams had seen since Vietnam, and then was the operations officer of the SEAL team, and then was the executive officer of the SEAL team. And he comes out and, you know, in his mind, he could have been walking around saying, well, I deserve to get paid $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to go and talk to this company. And you know what those companies said? They said, hey, great, nice to meet you. How about you talk to us for free? Mm-hmm. And what Leif had to do was the same thing that anyone getting out of the military has to do. The first company that I talked to, they didn't pay me anything, right? That's the way it works. I might have had this grandiose idea in my head that I was a great public speaker and I had all this knowledge that they absolutely needed. Well, guess what? You know what they paid me for that knowledge? Nothing. I gave it to them. So that's what you have to do. You have to say to yourself, listen, I know I've done some stuff in the military. It's in the past. I need to be humble. I need to move forward. And I need to step into this role with an open mind, ready to learn. And that is going to allow me to move up into a position where I can lead.
That mindset is all powerful. And you have to have that. You've got to be able to put your ego in check. And that's critical. I think the other thing you have to do is you got to work hard. You've got to do the work. You know, Jocko's mantra that he lives by is discipline equals freedom. If you want the freedom to succeed at the highest level possible, you've got to have the discipline to actually do the hard work, do the preparation, and make those things happen. And we do see some veterans that, you know, they worked hard. They've deployed. They've been away from their families. And they feel like, hey, in the civilian world, I'm just going to coast. I'm not going to work hard. I want something that's easy and I want to get handed a big paycheck. That's not going to come to you. You're going to have to go work hard for that. You're going to have to actually learn. You're going to have to put in the extra hours. You're going to have to come in early and stay late. And if you want to have a successful career, nothing comes easy. You're going to have to do the hard work. So remember, discipline equals freedom. Nothing's going to get handed to you. And you can't have that mindset, because people may make an assumption about you because you were in the military, and they may assume that you've got some great leadership, some great discipline, or some great focus. And and all those qualities that we're talking about, as soon as you prove otherwise, then it doesn't matter. Whether you serve in the military is totally irrelevant. You will not be successful, you know, if you're not actually willing to go and do the hard work.
I love that. I mean, it's my sense is that entitlement is the biggest adversary in this transition, and humility and hard work are the antidote. And what I hope listeners are encouraged by is if there's one trait universally that I see in military veterans, it is the ability to get stuff done, to just break through walls and overcome unbelievable obstacles. And if you can take that asset and apply that with that fresh mindset in your civilian career, you're unstoppable. But it does take a fair dose of humility of realizing, like, I climbed Mount Everest and now I have to start on the stair stepper. It's, you know, just taking a little bit of humility and starting from scratch. And many of you have probably done that in different commands and in different roles. It's just adopting that same mindset. I know that we're short on time here, and I just want to leave some room at the end. I always like to make space. I know that there's a lot of questions I asked, and I'm sure there's things that we didn't cover that you could talk about. And so you can take it one of two ways. Either what have we not covered that you want to make sure listeners know, or what are just some final words of wisdom that you'd like to leave with listeners before we wrap up?
From my perspective, what we do at Echelon Front is we really are taking the lessons that we learned on the battlefield, and we are teaching them to as many people as we possibly can so that they don't have to learn the lessons the hard way like we did. As I mentioned earlier, the companies that we work with, they grasp and they buy into and they understand and they implement these principles that we teach. And we see incredible improvement and growth inside those companies when we happen. I mean, that's absolutely the most rewarding thing that we get now as a civilian, is seeing companies just grow and expand using the principles that we learned on the battlefield. And again, now that we've got these companies in a situation where they really understand these principles and they live by these principles, and now giving them this opportunity to reach out into the military or people that are transitioning from the military and take people that also understand those principles, bring them inside their organization so that they can grow and expand even more. It's a huge opportunity for the people coming out of the military. It's a huge opportunity for the businesses that are bringing these people in. And for us, that's just extremely gratifying to be able to pay something back to the military for their service, and then also to be able to give what's really ends up being a parting gift. Because one of the things that we do at Echelon Front is we don't want to go in and milk a company and make ourselves a crutch that they rely on, and now they've got to keep us in perpetuity, keep us forever there working. What we want to do is we want to teach these principles, we want to have them grasp the principles and move on. So what's nice now as a parting gift is we can say, oh, by the way, here, you can hire some people that understand these principles that can fold into your company, that will stay at your company, that will be a part of your company, and that will grow with your company. And so I think we've got a real kind of vertically integrated system now, and I'm looking forward to seeing how much it grows and expands in the future. So we're really appreciative. We've been blessed with the opportunities we've had, and we're trying to spread those around as much as we can. Mm.
I'll make space for Leif in a second, but I hadn't thought of that. I think that's such an incredible way to make your principles, make the company self-sufficient, in that you're providing this incredible consultative service, you're providing this incredible training for them, and then to support them in continuing that, you're giving them access to a pipeline of people who will support that culture, who will support those values, and those play so well together. I hadn't viewed it from that angle, but that's really compelling. How about you, Leif?
Yeah, I would just summarize, you know, for those, whether you're on active duty and you're thinking about transitioning out of the military, your career beyond that, or whether you've already transitioned, you're thinking about a different job opportunities or career paths, you've got to think strategically. Take a step back and think about what kind of career do you want to have? What actually inspires you? What are you passionate about? What do you actually want to go out and do that's going to be your new mission that you can take on, that's going to push you hard to go and make things happen? Don't just jump on the first opportunity. As Jocko and I have talked about, be humble. That's incredibly important. And I think one of the ways we capture that in the dichotomy of leadership is And in the last chapter of Extreme Ownership, chapter 12, called The Dichotomy of Leadership, is the final dichotomy we talk about there is that you have nothing to prove, but you have everything to prove. And I think in one way, you'd have to think about that as a military veteran. You've got, you've served your country. I mean, you've got extraordinary skills that you've learned. The U.S. military is the most amazing leadership development program in the entire world. So you've been through that. You have those skills. In one regard, you got nothing to prove. On the other hand, you have everything to prove every day that you're going to make the right decisions. You're going to be able to remain calm and not get emotional. You're going to put the mission before yourself. You're going to be disciplined to do the hard work, and you're going to step up and take ownership when things go wrong and solve those problems going forward so that your team can win. And I think if you stay focused there, that's going to lead you to success. And, you know, for anybody that's interested in checking out, EF Legion, you can go to the website there, or for the EF Overwatch website as well. That's EFLegion.com or EFOverwatch.com. Any veterans that want to apply there can join that. And we've got an amazing group of companies that are super excited to take the kind of leadership that they see, with a mindset, folks, not just veterans, but people with a mindset that we're talking about. And we can help you translate that to the civilian sector, find those awesome career opportunities. And it's just extremely rewarding to be able to give back in that regard, not only to pass the lessons on that we learned on the battlefield, but as you said earlier, Justin, honoring those that we lost. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best way that for any veterans out there that have lost their teammates or their friends or family members, that you can honor them by actually finding that new career, finding that new mission, and going out there and succeeding in whatever arena that you're taking on after your military career.
I love that. And I think for listeners, you've probably heard many things that differentiate EF Legion from other recruiting organizations, and I don't have any dog in the fight one way or another, but one of the things I most appreciate about what you just said was finding a mission. It's not just slotting someone into a job. It's not just, let me place someone because then I'm going to get a recruiting check. It is really having the intention that people in the military find their next purpose. They find their next mission. They find something that's uniquely suited for them. And I think that's such a great way to approach this. So for listeners at beyondtheuniform.org, I'll have show notes with the links to everything we discuss, EF Legion, EF Overwatch, all of the books we discussed, other podcasts that are featured, these two amazing human beings. But thank you, thank you, thank you for taking the time to speak with me and the Beyond the Uniform audience today. It means a lot.
Thanks for having us on. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Justin. Keep getting after it.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Quick couple admin points. We release brand new episodes every single Monday and Thursday. Those are usually recorded about a month or so before they go live. Every Monday and Thursday, we have an interview, usually almost always with a military veteran about their civilian career. More and more, we're starting to add in experts who may not be veterans, but may have some expertise that will help the military veteran community. Saturdays, I typically post more of a behind the scenes episode, which is a free form format. I try to use what I'm calling a mullet format. And by that, I mean business up front, party in the back, talking through admin points, professional topics related to the podcast. It might be a conversation I had that week. It might have been an interview I had that week, but just trying to share things that are top of mind that may help you, and more of a free form, straight from the heart format. And then the party in the back is the personal side of things, just kind of more free flowing thoughts on life, on improving oneself, just kind of whatever's going on in life and trying to be authentic and honest about those things as well. Special thanks. We have an all volunteer army of people behind Beyond the Uniform making this possible. We do this on our lunch breaks, on our evenings, on our weekends, because we love the military community. We want to give back. We want to make a difference. We want that as part of the purpose in our life that we valued in the military. So special thanks to Steve Bain. Steve does pretty much everything. He helps secure guests. He does our newsletter. He keeps the reels rolling and keeps me sane. Kathleen Dillon, the first person to join our team. She writes text transcripts of every single episode. It's wild. She keeps up with two of these a week despite a demanding career and education right now. But those transcripts help us get more SEO value, helps her audience more. Andrew Woolridge is our data guru. He helps us understand the numbers, which is the easiest way for us to figure out how we can better support you, and adds kind of the data oversight for that. Rick Healy does all of our social media. He is gaining more and more of an audience for us by getting our videos, getting our podcasts out on social channels. The best way to stay in contact with us is if you go to beyondtheinformed.org, there is a newsletter. You'll have a little pop-up that comes up. You can put your email in. We email twice per month. We try to be respectful, but it is a great way to get appraised of upcoming events, upcoming interviews, promos where companies are giving discounts to Beyond the Uniform listeners, and more. This does cost money to put on. We are committed to not charging veterans directly. And the way that we kind of offset costs is through corporate sponsors. So if you know of a company that would like to get in front of a military audience and their families, that's one way that we can both add value to our members, but also offset the costs of Beyond the Uniform and give us a little bit of budget to start expanding what we're doing. So that's the best way you can help us. If that's not something that you can do, a positive review on iTunes is greatly appreciated. Have a wonderful week. We will be back Monday, Thursday, and Saturday with more interviews. And keep up the listening. Take care.